Himalayan mountain, river, and plain through wind and storm. Ride Zan of the Airlines.
Trapped in the cabin of the mighty transport plane that is to be flown to Africa, Ann Burton is forced to hide in the baggage compartment, hoping for an opportunity to escape before Jack Baker and the two diamond smugglers, Vic and Joe, take off from the hidden airport in the heart of the Florida Everglades. But the sudden appearance of an Aircat speed plane, piloted by Radio Inspector Art Morrison, and carrying as passengers Aunt Hattie and Zeb Abercrombie, who is also on the trail of the smugglers, causes the gangsters to take to the air immediately with Ann as an unwilling passenger. Meanwhile, Zeb, not knowing that Ann is a stowaway in the transport, has parachuted to the ground in the hope that he will be able to find her and lead her to safety. Above, Morrison and Aunt Hattie, seeing the hurried departure of the transport, cruise about in order to pick up some signal from Zeb after he lands. Listen.
Well, now that the transport is out of sight, I think I'll wheel back over that place it took off. See anything of Zeb, Aunt Hattie?
Yes, he's down there. Oh, he must have landed in that clearing. Oh, now I can't see him anymore.
I'll keep that left wing down and circle, and you can watch him. How's that?
I can see him now. He's having trouble with the parachute. Seems to be tangled up in the rope.
Lucky for him, there's no wind today, or that chute would have him all over the clearing. Is he loose yet?
There, yeah. He seemed to burst loose all of a sudden.
He probably got mad and cut his way out. Still see him?
Yes, he found a trail of some sort. He's going towards the place where the airship took off.
Well, we might as well fly over that place. I still don't see how they took off from that lake. We know that Jack must have an enormous supply of gas, and that transport is certainly no amphibian.
A what?
An amphibian. An amphibian plane is one that's equipped with both pontoons and landing wheels, so that it can land on either water or land. And I'm sure that the interstate ship didn't have pontoons when it took off.
No, but Mr. Art, they call them clipper ships. They're not equipped with pontoons, and they can fly off the water.
Say, you may have the answer there.
Oh, there. There's that little lake again. And it isn't at all far from the trail or road that Mr. Zeb was on. Oh, I don't see why Ann couldn't have found that road easily enough.
Well, when you get down there, Aunt Hattie, you'll find there's plenty of underbrush and swamp between that road and that lake. See Zeb anywhere?
Oh, yes. Oh, he's just a tiny speck. But he's working his way toward the lake. Look. There's the shed where they must have kept the airship, and there's a sort of shack just across the water.
Well, I don't know just what good we can do here. We haven't any way to land on that water. I suppose Zeb will get back to the road and make his way back to the emergency field like he did before.
But, Mr. Art, couldn't we land on one of those open spaces?
Hardly. Most of those open spaces are very swampy. Our landing gear would bog right down to the fuselage.
Oh, and I suppose we might as well drop some sort of a note to Mr. Zeb so he can bring Ann right straight to the field. That is if he finds her.
Say, isn't that someone coming out of that barn or shed or whatever it is?
It looks like it. Oh, no, it's some sort of an animal. A dog, I guess. Oh, he's going to swim across the lake. Mr. Art, look. He's not swimming at all. He's walking.
Walking? He couldn't.
He's walking right across the lake. Mr. Art, that lake isn't over 6 inches deep.
Say, I'm beginning to get the idea. We'll drop down and zoom over that lake, if that's what it is, and see if my idea is right.
Oh, nearly took my breath away. The way you dropped down there.
Yes, and certainly scared our little friend the dog. Look at him go, right down the middle of the... Say, that water's the same depth all the way. That's it, all right.
I'm afraid I don't understand just what it's all about, Mr. Ogg.
I think, Aunt Hattie, that we found out how those boys have been able to keep the location of their landing field a secret from the ships that fly over. I'll bet that under that water is a concrete runway.
But how are you going to tell?
Well, I'm just sure enough of it to try a landing. That is, if you're game enough, Aunt Hattie.
Mr. Morrison, that is a reflection on my character. If you're game enough to try to land, then I'm certainly game enough to land with you. The fact is, that's about all I can do. Knowing that Anne's somewhere around here, heard for all we know.
I hardly think she's heard, Aunt Hattie. Remember that radio message from headquarters saying that they heard her over the plane's transmitter not very long ago? Oh, she's probably hiding either in the improvised hangar or in the underbrush. She probably hasn't recognized this plane and is afraid to show herself until she's sure. Yeah, well, we'll know in a minute or two.
You don't suppose that gang's left anyone around here to guard the place, do you?
Not much to guard when they take off. No, I think we'll find the place perfectly safe. Better fasten that belt. We're not sure about this plane, you know. That's it. Here it is.
That wasn't bad at all.
That water sure puts the brakes on the wheels. I suppose we might as well taxi right over to that shed. That door over dry ground?
Oh, yes. It's 6 or 8 feet from the edge of the water.
Okay, might as well open up. We'll have a look around. Just a second. I'll climb down and give you a hand. All right, Aunt Hattie. Come on.
Oh, thank you, young boy.
Well, this place is deserted, all right.
Oh, I don't see a sign of Anne anywhere. And she would have recognized us by this time if she's anywhere near.
There, that's it. It might be that she finally got to the road and hooked a ride back to the emergency field. And we'll know all about that just as soon as Zeb gets here.
Well, how will Mr. Zeb know any more about her than we would?
Aunt Hattie, this Zeb Abercrombie was practically raised among the Seminole Indians down here. And then he had to make his way through the jungle in Africa. A fellow like that gets so that he can look at a footprint and tell you the height, weight, and age of the person who made it.
Oh, well, I thought that only the old Indian scouts and persons like Daniel Boone and Davy Crockett could do things like that.
No, we still have men who can read signs just as well as the Indian scouts. The government men use signs to arrive at the same place. But some of these fellows down here can just glance at the print or twig or whatever clue it is and give you the complete history. But while we're waiting for them, we might as well poke around. Suppose we start with the shed, hmm?
Well, about the only signs here that I can read are that someone must have used a motor car to haul that big airship out of the shed. See? There. There are the tracks leading right up to the door, and then back to the water.
Say, that's all right, Aunt Hattie. And from the looks of it, it must have been a pretty old flivver. They haven't used that tire size for a long time. Wonder what they did with the car. They couldn't have taken it with them, that's certain.
But if they had a car, well, then certainly there must be some sort of a road right up to this place. And Anne would have been able to find it in no time.
That's right, too. I sure don't see any road leading through that underbrush. Hope I can move this door.
Oh, my. What a dark, dismal old place. But there's a floor in it, thank goodness.
Lucky I brought this pocket flashlight. Yeah, here's where they kept the transport, all right. They sure never figured on a ship as big as that. From the place where the wheels stood, I'd say that tail must have been out in the open.
Isn't that a back door over there?
I think so. Wonder if it's been open in the last year or so.
Well, it certainly doesn't open like a door that's been closed for any length of time.
As a woodsman, you're doing all right, Aunt Hattie. Mm. You're right. This door's been used and recently, too. And there are footprints leading up to and away from it. They go right out into the swamp.
And their hands. I'd know that kind of a heel anywhere.
There are several lines of them, so I can't tell much about them. We might start following them and see if we can...
Oh, maybe it might be well to wait for Mr. Zeb. We might erase something that would tell him a lot.
It might be your best. He ought to be here any minute.
We could take a look at that shack and that shed that's built alongside of it while we're waiting for him.
Well, we'll go around the edge of the runway to avoid the water. Well, here we are. Say, it looks like someone moving inside that shack. You know, it might be...
Well, I finally made it. I tried to take a shortcut, but I finally had to get back on the road. Too much mud.
Road?
Sure, the road. The one that leads up to this place.
I'm afraid we haven't found that road yet, Zeb. We couldn't see a place where it leads in here.
I'll show you that in a minute. But I was just looking at that cement road underneath that water. Them fellas sure fixed it up so you couldn't spot it from the air, all right. Must have a spring dammed up somewhere to keep water on it all the time.
Did you see anything of Anne, Mr. Zeb?
Nope. Not a sign of where she'd ever been close to the road. But here, I'll show it to you. Hey, come on around to this lean-to on the side of the house.
Well, there's the flivver, all right. I still can't see how they got it out of here.
Them fellas are sure tricky, all right. The way they've got this road fixed is as cute as a bug's ear. Look here. Look now when I pull down on this rope. Watch that back wall of the lean-to.
For the love of Mike, the road leads right out of the back wall of the lean-to. They just pull it up like an awning.
And it looks like there must have been another car here since the rain, too.
And if you ask me, it was not only a car, but a pretty heavy truck. Nope, look, it was a couple of trucks. And they were both loaded up plenty. Hey, they come right through here and turned around on the cement there. You can see where they riled up that muddy film on the cement. But there sure ain't no footprints on that road like a girl might have made.
Well, there are plenty of footprints at the back door of the shed where they kept the airship, and they lead right out into the swamp.
Then we'd better have a look at them. You lead the way, Art.
Okay, we'll go around the edge of the water here so we don't get our feet wet.
What's that piece of paper in the bushes there? There, right over there.
Looks like a piece of paper that must have been blown in there and blown in there hard. Maybe during that hurricane the other day. Only that paper hasn't been wet since it landed there. And it rained cats and dogs right after the storm.
I'll get it. Here it is. Looks like a note.
It is. It's a note that Anne started to write and then stopped for some reason. It says, Jack just left before you, and then stops. Mr. Art, you don't suppose that someone happened to come along?
I don't know what to make of it. It looks like she was intending to leave. Yeah, she was intending to leave it on the ship for Jack, which shows that she isn't on the ship herself. Say, Zeb, where did Zeb go?
He went around the side of the shed to have a look at the prints back there. Oh, here he comes. Did she go into the swamps, Mr. Zeb?
No, but that's the funny part of it. The last tracks sure are coming along the side of the shed up here to the front. And if you look real close, you'll see that they end right here at the edge of the water. Shows that she might be on that airship.
She couldn't be. Here's a note she started to write to Jack. You can see for yourself.
Huh? Oh, I can't make anything out of this stuff. Why, it looks like somebody was figuring up their income tax or something.
Oh, you've got the wrong side. Let me see here. Say, let me look at that. 6-14-1-2-5. This is an old government code. Yeah, it was discarded several years ago. Now, if I can just remember. I think I've got it. Decoded, it says, heading first for Cape St. Roque, South America. Girl is stowed away safely. Now, who could have written that?
Maybe Jack wrote it and left it. Oh, but surely Anne isn't on board that ship. She just can't be, that's all.
It looks like she is, Anne Hattie, and she seems safe enough for the time being. But it wasn't Jack that wrote that note because he doesn't know that code. I wonder. Listen, we're climbing into that aircat and getting back to Springfield so that I can do some checking up.
Huh? Looks like when you join up with airships to catch crooks, all you do is jump into them and then jump out of them. In you go, Miss Jackson.
A code message written on the back of a note Anne intended for Jack. Could it be that someone else entered the plane? Meanwhile, back in Springfield, have Pete and Kay, with the help of Bobby, been able to find out any more about the mysterious Doc? We plunge into more thrills, more adventures in the next chapter of... Anne of the Airlines.